Well, just looking back over this past week, we're getting to a sort of a bit of a stalemate situation as far as the Ukraine war is concerned. You know, obviously, what we've heard over this past week is that the Russians haven't really been able to advance that effectively into the Ukrainian cities. There's been some pushback on that. So the tactics now appear to be that they'll try and hold the Donbass area in eastern Ukraine and probably put up some boundary down the middle. That's where we think it's at the moment. That still leaves a fair bit of pressure on commodity prices and energy prices in particular. I mean, it has settled a little bit, but at very, very high levels. And of course, this is an additional inflation factor as far as many countries are concerned. But just looking at the data we had from the US last week, it's a mix of past strength and sentiment indicators, particularly consumer sentiment indicators, which are affected obviously by the announcements of the war in Ukraine and everything that's swirled around that, sentiment indicators just fading back. So when we look at what we saw last week, we had, for example, housing right at the leading edge, new home sales there just fading a little, down 2% for the most recent month of February. That followed an 8.4% fall the month before. So a bit of softness running through there. Consumer sentiment, when it came out, was pretty soft too. We had the March consumer sentiment reading. This was actually the final reading of March consumer sentiment. Go back to February, this was sitting at 62.8. The preliminary reading of March consumer sentiment came in at 59.7. Typically, you get about a third of the responses that come in for the final report, and they're obviously more negative than the earlier report because we've got a revision to 59.4. So the later indicators were that people are getting a little bit more pessimistic. And it's all around prospects for interest rates in the United States. You know, obviously, we had quite a build-up in bond yields in the US last week, and you know, speculation that the Fed's going to have to do more in the future than it's been doing. Just some of the other indicators last week too. We've still got these signs of huge strengths running through the labour market. We had the weekly initial jobless claims data came out. These are people claiming unemployment benefit for the first time. Very, very rare to see this anywhere near 200,000. Anything below 200,000, you're getting to the sorts of readings that haven't been seen since the early 1970s. Well, we went underneath 200,000 for the first time in this last week. We came from 215,000 down to 187,000. That's the strongest reading for that indicator since the series started way back in 1971. So it's an indication that this week, when we get the non-farm payrolls data coming out for March on Friday, we'll probably get a very strong non-farm payrolls reading. Market thinks we'll get 475,000. That's on top of the 678,000 increase they got the month before. And the unemployment rate in the United States, which was at 3.8%, which was the lowest reading since the beginning of the pandemic. Last time we were down at 3.8% was in February 2020, just as the pandemic setting in. So we're back. We've recovered everything that the US has lost through the whole of the pandemic there. And if we get down below 3.5% at some point over the next month or two, we'll be down at lowest unemployment rates in more than half a century. So that looks to be in prospect at the moment with the numbers we're getting. So even this month, it's likely that the unemployment rate will come down to 3.7% and 3.8%. Very, very tight. And of course, what goes with that is the pressure on wages. And the March reading of average hourly earnings expected to rise 0.4% for the month. That would lift the year-on-year increase for average hourly earnings from 5.1% to 5.5%. So this is the issue which is facing us now. Not only have we got inflation running in the United States, not only have we got some additional factors which are giving us an additional lift to inflation in the near term, but we've also got wages growth now which is thundering along and is almost giving us a spiral of higher prices feeding to wages, feeding to higher inflation. And so far, the Fed has done 125 basis point interest rate hike. The bond market obviously is starting to call this out, and over this past week we've seen the 10-year US Treasury yield, which has been knocking on the door at 2.5%, although it's going to go a lot higher than that over the course of the next few months, because we really do have to make an assessment about... we know that the peak inflation rate now in the US is probably going towards 10% in the near term for the CPI. It's where it settles when that starts to come back. If you went back 4 months ago, most people would have said it'll settle back into the twos. 2 months ago, we would have said it'll settle back but probably to the threes. Now we're looking at fours or fives for the low point, the US inflation, when it settles. So that gives you some indication of what the bond market really has to build in at some point as we go ahead. Moving to China, no real movement in China last week. The People's Bank of China met, but they left the interest rates unchanged there at 3.7%. Different sort of economy to most other places internationally because it has been slowing. And so that's been taking a little bit of pressure out of inflation. They've got more policy flexibility than most. So if anything, you know, China can actually boost its economy as we go through the course of this year. One of the problems they got near term, though, is that they're trying to deal with the Omicron outbreak, which has been pretty savage through China. And the way they deal with it is to shut down still, because the vaccines they've been using haven't got the same efficacy as the vaccines that we use here in the West. This week in China, we have some purchasing managers' reports coming out. That's both the manufacturing PMI and also the non-manufacturing PMI. These lifted last month into the low 50s. Expect to see that being maintained for the most recent months, an indication of the Chinese economy is actually lifting somewhat. Australia, very quiet last week. We had nothing of real note, but this week we've got the budget coming up on Tuesday. And the budget started, when we're looking at this current financial year for 2021-2022, the budget deficit way back in May last year when they were forecasting this, they were looking at around about $106 billion for the deficit. That had come back into the $90 billions with the mid-year economic and financial outlook, which came out in December. It's likely now they'll be talking about a budget deficit of around $70 billion. There's been a huge growth and higher commodity price lift for the budget from the government's point of view. The issue facing the government is running just before an election, probably 2 months to the next election, and as a result of that, they will be giving away, they've already announced much of it, but sort of compensation for higher petrol prices, some additional payments, one-off as they say, to help people with the cost of living. One of the issues with this, of course, is that it's a balancing act. The economy is growing really strongly here, and so anything they give away is adding to the inflation problem here. This is the balancing act, which will be running through the budget on Tuesday night. We also have some data out this week. We've got February retail sales coming out the morning before the budget on Tuesday. Retail sales have been lifting quite strongly over recent months. And in January, they were up 1.8% month on month. They're expected to have lifted another 1% month on month for the month of February. So currently, the economy is still running at a strong pace. And we'll also get February home building approvals coming out on Thursday this week. We had a big pullback in home building approvals going back to January, down 27.9%. So we think that was something of an aberration, and there'll be probably quite a big lift month on month, and the market focus for that is up 9% month on month for the month of February. Finally, just running to Europe, and the economic data reads we've been getting there. They're mostly sentiment readings we put out last week. We had consumer confidence came out for the month of March. This, naturally, this is the month where things were really going badly as far as the war in Ukraine was concerned, and the risks were escalating that it could turn into a broader conflict. So not unsurprisingly, we had consumer confidence, which went to minus 18.7 from minus 8.8 the month before. So the sentiment indicators there, obviously very, very weak. But we also had manufacturing and services sector purchasing those indices coming out for Europe, and these were not too bad. These were still holding up. So the manufacturing purchasing managers index, which was very strong going back to February at 58.2, came back, but not as much as expected, came back to 57, which is still an elevated reading. And the services sector PMI, which was at 55.5, came back but to 54.8, which is still a respectable reading and still indicates that on any good news, you're probably going to get some rebound running through things in, as far as Europe's concerned. Now, this week in Europe, it's back to past strength, really. We've got the February unemployment rate reading coming out on Thursday, and the unemployment rates going back to January had fallen to 6.8% in Europe. Now, that's the single lowest unemployment rate since the euro started, going back to 1999. We're expecting that to come back a bit further, down to 6.7%, so very, very low. In the case of Germany, we're down to 3%, the unemployment rate. So still underlying strength as far as the European economies are concerned. But we also get an inflation reading, the preliminary March CPI coming out on Friday. And it's going to go up again. So the CPI, looking at going up from 5.9% year-on-year to 6.5% year-on-year. And the core CPI, when you take out many of the commodity prices, looking at that to go from 2.9% to 3.3% year-on-year. So broadly speaking, still a story about rising inflation, what central banks do about it, and what we're watching at the moment really carefully is the bond markets, because they really are moving up in yield now quite sharply, and this may not be stopping for quite some time.